Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho police.
Oh my God!
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucker!
Hello, I'm Amanda Dumerin.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. This has been quite an eventful morning. Normally, when we record this podcast, we take pauses when there are sirens in our background. But today, I don't think that's going to be possible, unfortunately. There's a lot going on.
I mean, all three of us are okay, so because we can start with that.
All three of us is okay. All of the SUP team is accounted for. But obviously what we're talking about, if you have not heard or haven't heard by this point when you're listening to the podcast, we are awaiting more information about a shooting in a Brooklyn subway that has reportedly injured at least 16 people.
Oh my God.
This is on the R train, and the stop is in the Sunset Park area of Brooklyn. So this happened around 8:30. So this person was definitely going for rush hour. And I mean, if you saw the videos, rush hour traffic in Manhattan, even in the tail end of a pandemic, it was a very crowded train. The videos are super disturbing. Did you guys watch them? I'm sure we all just think of ourselves on a commute, but they're pretty tough to watch.
Yeah, I can't watch a video like that, but I did see that, like, I think it was like New York Post and a couple other news outlets, I mean, quote unquote news outlets, yeah, were leading with some pretty graphic imagery just as like their header images. So I ended up seeing some stuff on Twitter that I would normally not seek out.
Yeah, I'm noticing that's getting just pretty thrown up pretty casually.
Yeah, I saw, like, I clicked on the sensitive content thing. Like, I saw that. So I saw one photo. But again, like, you know, having kind of experienced, like, the pandemonium at an airport of thinking there's an active shooter, like, the idea of going through that on a subway or in a subway station where, you know, it's way more tight. There aren't as many exits, you know, it's just terrifying.
If you're getting out, there's no subway. I mean, it's the subway. So if you're getting out, you need to climb stairs. You need to, like, get through those. Yeah. I mean, thank God so far we're not hearing about injuries resulting from any sort of, like, stampede issue. According to this morning's press conference, so this happened at around 8:30, and then the governor and a couple other representatives from law enforcement went on TV. Eric Adams, our mayor, is not there because he has COVID.
COVID. How did he get it, Amanda? Do you know?
Probably from partying at the nightclub
with
for the red card.
It's like even how he got it. This is what happened. He was exposed, and the next day went to like a disabilities fundraiser and got a bunch of fucking people. I thought y'all knew this. I posted this on my thing. I'll link you right now. But
I missed actually that Eric Adams had gotten COVID because I've started to, just for my own mental health, tune out some of his antics. Like, as you've pointed out on your Twitter, Millie, it's every day he has sort of a new weird thing that he's up to. So I missed that he had COVID until I was reading about this. And then they were like, Eric Adams hasn't commented because he has COVID. And I was like, what? Oh.
So Mayor was at a gridiron dinner, a super spreader with 67 cases and more.
Oh, he was at that? Oh, that got every Democrat sick.
Exactly. And then next day, he knew he was exposed, but attended the Real Abilities Film Festival, which is a film festival celebrating people with disabilities. He was there, and there's a picture with him and Robert De Niro. And now he's canceled all his events as Meet the Press.
And also, like, that's insane. I mean, there's a couple people at Betches that have it right now, and they're sick. I mean, they're sick. They're very sick. So I would not want that is fucked up. I mean, and before I thought he got it at the party for a credit card. We all saw him at that party with Cara Delevingne, but I didn't know that the party was for like a credit card that you use to pay for rent, which is just like, don't put rent so on a credit sick. Card
by Wells Fargo, God. The most racist fucking bank in the world. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, Eric Adams. Thanks a lot, Jay-Z. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Andrew Yang.
Mm-hmm. At a time when rents are doubling too, it's like, so it's really dystopian. Doubling. Yeah, like rents in New York have doubled. They're up higher than they ever were in the pandemic. And the mayor's solution is a new credit card that people can use to pay their
or just don't be really seen there. High rent. Don't be seen there. He's been getting. I originally added a lot to this outline, being mad at Eric Adams, but like. Obviously, what happened today, we don't know everything that happened and we don't know the causes. There are already a lot of people having takes and some of them are good and probably valuable. But while people are like literally still bleeding and fighting for their lives, I don't know if that's the time. But this is coming on, I think it's not today. It might have been yesterday, but it's like definitely this week is 100 days into his administration, which is like typically a time where he did a lot of interviews and you like reflect and this is what's coming. And it's just, you know, obviously you can't like not think about the fact that this person was elected, I would say, primarily by a populace that was very concerned about crime. And he used mm-hmm. that to help him get elected. And so this is now 100 days in. Crime is up in 2021. I mean, Kathy Hochul made a statement at the press conference and she looked pissed. She was irate. And she was just like, this can't keep happening. We need to fix this crime. Like, we need to work with each other better to stop this. And I don't know how you address like these one rogue peoples, but one of the takes we're seeing this morning already is just to be wary of the suggestion to put more police in the subways, because mm-hmm. that is a solution that's already been undertaken and this still happened, and a lot of people yeah. have personal experience. Like, obviously not all cops, I'm not saying ACAB, but a lot of times I know you are.
Really to marry this.
Yeah. A lot of times, thank you. I knew you would. A lot of times when you see them in the subway, they are harassing the women who sell sliced mango. They are going after people who jump the turnstiles. They are trying to vacate homeless people that clearly don't feel safe anywhere else but the subway. So just be wary of that reaction. That's the one thing I'm seeing now, because obviously when these things happen, politicians can use it as an opportunity to push through policies that suddenly become more popular when we're living in fear.
Yeah, because Eric Adams has already been touting, like, he already put in place a plan to put more cops on the subway. That's already mm-hmm. been happening. That's like 2000. Something the city's been talking about for a while. I mean, he did like that whole photo shoot with the robot dog or whatever. Like, he.
No. Yeah.
But where was the robot dog?
Nowhere.
Where was the robot dog?
He literally cut education, like, cut the school board, like, Department of Education budget. He's cut housing.
Yeah, he's done nothing for housing.
Nothing for housing.
Credit card, Millie. You can apply for a credit card.
And he, you know, has been spending the last week literally destroying homeless encampments. Mm-hmm. And has been putting more funds into the police. So. Yeah, it is pretty alarming that we all know that he's going to reactionarily, you know, put even triple the amount or something. And that's just, it's not helpful.
I had that portion about him. And then he did like an interview with like a local news station for his 100 days. And the New York Times interview like ended very intentionally with a quote where he basically was like, you know, I've done a lot in my life. I've had a hard life. And he ended by saying, I don't think this job is hard at all. That is a direct quote. And I'm like, it should be hard. Being the mayor of the biggest city in the country at a time when we're having a lot of issues should be really fucking hard, dude.
Yeah. And also no one in recent memory has been good at it. So it seems like it's hard. It seems like it's pretty hard because everyone sucks ass at who gets the
job.
There
hasn't been a slam dunk mayor.
Absolutely
for sure.
Not one among them. So,
but also I do. This makes me sad that I missed de Blasio. Isn't that crazy? Right? Like everyone, even when people were talking about like fuck de Blasio, I can't wait for him to get out of here. I'm like, I don't know.
He had shame at least. He was like, I don't want to be hated.
Education like outright.
No, his wife would not let him do that.
And he would never like brag about increasing police presence. Yeah.
Bill de Blasio would never claim to be a vegan and still eat fish.
Well, Bill de Blasio actually lives in Park Slope. He does. Yeah. He does take like car service to the gym every day, but he lives still in Park does Slope.
That.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is really, I can't remember if I already said the outcome. According to this morning's press conference, 16 people have reportedly been injured. That number was inching up all morning, and I haven't seen an update for a while, but we're recording at 1:15.
And that guy's on the run. That's the scary part. Yeah, they cannot find him.
Today, yeah. They can't find him. I've read a lot about why that potentially is and why he was. It sounds like certain trains were stopped, certain trains were not. It sounds like the operator of the train that was being like assaulted with the smoke bombs did a great thing, because as soon as people were safe from the cart that had been attacked, he or she was out of there so that those people in that subway could get to safety. Although who knows, the suspect could have been on one of those trains. That's what's fucking scary. Like Kathy Hochul just said on TV, this is an active shooter situation in New York City.
Yeah, and it's an active shooter situation in the subway. I know, that's what's so crazy, is that like the subway is completely interconnected. You have no idea, you know, once he's on and he's in that system, it's literally an active shooter situation. Everyone's throughout the entire masks. Subway.
And the city.
Everyone's still wearing masks. There was, I know one of the reports said he had on like a gas mask and like a vest or something, which is he could remove that. Yeah. Yeah. Like it's tough.
He could be anywhere
situation.
Right now. He could be in Jersey. Well,
that's something that, I mean, we're pissed that this even happened, but I really don't think I'm going to find the explanation for why he immediately got away acceptable whenever we find that. And like he still has his fucking weapon. Like this is New York City. We're supposed to have the most elite law enforcement in the country.
In the world, We spend the most money in the world on our police force, NYPD. Yes, we do. And we, you know, and it's still crazy. And like, the thing is, everyone's like, are you okay? You know, and like Bushwick, where I live, isn't close to Sunset Park. It's not that close. Like it's a few miles away. It's a different part of Brooklyn. There's not a connecting train. But the fact that he didn't get, you know, nowhere know where he is.
Yeah.
We don't know where he's going. So
yeah. And people, when I feel unsafe in the city, it is actually generally in places like Times Square, which feel like targets, which feel like potential terrorism targets.
Yes.
So also the thing about this is that it's like in a very like immigrant dense community in Brooklyn. Not, you know, obviously every train station in New York is very crowded at 8:30 in the morning. But like if you're going for a big, I always feel most scared at sort of the Herald Square, Central Park, Times Square, because I'm scared of terrorism, but the type of crime we're seeing is more random. Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a chaos to choosing Sunset Park, which is just like a random kind of like family station. It's not, you're not finding tourists there. It's not like one of the ones you see on TV ever. It's just a random subway station.
Well, at least we get to choose our own insurance.
Exactly. So when you get fucking shot in the subway, that hopefully you've chosen. I can't stop thinking about our interview with MA last week, at least, when she was like, why should who you choose to have sex with your whole life have anything to do with how you get health insurance?
Oh, and, you interviewed MA last week?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. She was great. She's got to come back. She also just knew everything about like a lot about every issue. So let me know when we should have her back to talk about. I mean, based on these injuries, things like 10 people have been shot, their injuries, I don't know where their injuries are. People say they're from shrapnel. I heard reports that maybe he was primarily shooting at the ground or people's legs. Hopefully that means he wasn't trying to kill anybody. But like your mindset changes when you are being, you know, chased by.
Yeah.
It's just a really bad situation. And we are fine. But like the answer, some people's answer to that question is going to be, no, I am not fine. There was a lot of people affected by this. And obviously we're going to keep a close eye out. And like I said, we recorded this segment at 1:15 on Tuesday. So if you hear anything that sounded off, it's probably because something happened in the interim. We were already going to talk about guns today, so we will carry on with that. Let's talk about President Biden's promise to crack down on, quote, ghost guns during a White House address yesterday. As I was watching the United States president like have this, like it looked like a toy gun, but it is a real gun. And that's the problem. So I just imagine like somebody from another country watching our president, like thinking like, why is he playing with Legos? No, this is just like a gun that can kill people because we have these. It was a real gun, a ghost gun. Ghost guns are untraceable firearms that don't have serial numbers. Terrifying sentence. They're untraceable because you can buy them in kits and put them together yourself. You can also 3D print them, which is terrifying.
Terrible.
But fucking. I mean, so, it's a jet. Like, it's outrageous. I couldn't
figure out why, but even some of these things they're going to try to pursue, there might be some loopholes if you can just 3D print it. And to which I say, this means it's not illegal. To which I say, why is it always build your own untraceable guns, then it's not illegal, and never grow your own weed, and then it's not illegal? I think it stands to reason.
Well, yeah. I'll just say my friend worked at a 3D printing company and people could send in requests and someone made a glove where each finger was a dildo. And that was,
you know, that didn't innovation, hurt anybody.
Didn't hurt anybody. Probably brought someone pleasure. Yeah, and that's what we people. Should be doing with 3D printing, not making guns.
That is no. where that technology should be going. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I just like wonder like who that has been banned from getting an actual gun the old fashioned way also has access to like a state of the art 3D printer. But I don't know. I watch crime shows. I guess they're actually out there. So you buy these kits. It's buying a fucking Lego kit, but it makes a gun. You don't need a background check. And that's bad already because there can be things in your background. And this means people who would normally be flagged for a background check can buy a gun as long as it's deconstructed.
And our background checks are famously thorough.
Yeah. Exactly.
All the way,
like if you already can't get a gun.
Our background check process now is fucking rock solid already. So
that's what these laws apparently, what Biden is introducing are basically things to make these gun kit, these types of guns, the regulations more similar to a traditional gun, to which I say, yikes. Like,
great.
Yeah, but great. a little more about these, because I personally did not know how much these guns had like proliferated. About 20,000 ghost guns were uncovered by law enforcement in 2021 alone. Jesus. That's a crazy number. And just like, remember, we know from today, it takes one gun for a mass shooting. Like a mass shooting is 5 feet. It takes one gun and there are 20,000 that were taken. I mean, there could be even more. And that number was up tenfold from 2016. I don't know if that has to do with Trump or how. I'm just going to assume it is.
And that's Trump.
That's Trump. Trump did that. Trump gave all of his supporters a 3D printer. He's going to start selling them on the Trump.com website.
I'm just like, there are better hobbies. Like, you know, crochet.
Crochet.
Make a sourdough bread. Honestly,
build something
this
else.
This is the only time that I would say that being polyamorous is better than having a gun. Because I personally feel like a lot of people who are polyamorous don't have hobbies because that's their hobby.
I was waiting for the connection. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't have hobbies because they're just constantly thinking about who's dating who and all that. But they're not building guns. Let's come up with different things. I'm offending cops today. I'm offending polyamorous people.
Yeah. And polyamorous cops, probably.
Polyamorous cops, like Ashley Babbitt's family.
Oh, God. Man, you're too quick with that reference.
Yeah, I was like, what? Oh, my God.
You have like a photographic memory, but for like the most bizarre things that happened during a 24-hour news cycle.
Well, I'm just pissed that when Ashley Babbitt's like, I was watching the news with my girlfriend, and it's like, okay, so we're not going to talk about this.
No, never. Exactly. Ashley Babbitt should have just stayed around in her thruple and she would have been fine. Looking at some numbers in major cities, just because we're hearing a lot lately about crime in cities, 575 of these guns were found in Philadelphia and 345 in Baltimore. This is so many. I mean, this is so many guns that are not accounted for on top of the ones we already know that are, you know, being the serial number being scraped off, all of it.
But like out of 20,000, that's still a lot of guns in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. And a quarter of guns confiscated for being illegal in LA last year were ghost guns, which tells us that a very meaningful part of people who are trying to obtain access to a deadly firearm illegally are just making their own. And I guess I should like, I saw an interview with like a gun expert who was like kept pointing out like, it's not as easy as Legos, okay? It requires tools. It's like, fine, still.
Okay.
Like, fine.
Cool.
It's still harder than,
so it's an IKEA
like,
furniture, but guns.
Exactly. Yeah, no, you have to have the little crank thing or else you can't put it together.
Become like, a task okay, rabbit. What? There are so many other things that you can do. It's just, there's so many things. It's like, we have a lot of privileges in American society. We can go do like escape rooms. We can go, you know, do laser tag. We can go to spas all day long. Maybe we can't have build your own gun kits. Like, can maybe just some things we shouldn't have. Like, we have enough. There's enough shit to do.
It's so crazy to me that like even this, gun rights groups are like, this is overreach. Even this,
yeah,
that you shouldn't be able to just build a random gun that none of us know where it is or where, like.
Yeah, that's untraceable.
If you build a bomb.
Untraceable random gun.
If you find out your neighbor's building a bomb, you have an obligation to call the police. But this, you just fucking buy a kit on Etsy? What do you do?
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, not on Etsy because they're on strike right now. So don't buy your gun kit on Etsy.
Don't buy anything on Etsy right now.
Don't be a scab. Get your gun kit somewhere else.
I saw a crocheted Monstera the other day that I've had my eyes on.
Oh, I saw that too. Yeah. Someone did send that to me.
Really?
Yeah, because I have a Monstera in my house.
Delightful,
but damn.
Much harder. So what does the Biden administration want to do with it? Like I said, they're not necessarily trying to ban the guns or increase criminal penalties for crimes committed with them. This really shows you again how basic we mean when we use the phrase common sense gun laws. All they want to do is make DIY guns face the same regulations as regular guns, which we know are limited. So
overreach.
Overreach.
Overreach. Like, it's so crazy to, because all of their stuff is based on the Constitution, the Second Amendment. And I know this point has been made to death a million times, but like, we are talking about a gun that you can print out from your computer. The founding fathers, like, they're thousands, like hundreds of technological advances earlier than even any of the tiniest ability to print out a gun from your computer.
Yeah, I don't think right to a well-armed militia really meant that or whatever.
No,
definitely not.
Oh my god. They didn't even think about the dildo gloves, guys.
No, they didn't even think about abortion. They certainly didn't think about 3D printed guns. So what do these laws mean? They want the kits to be produced by licensed manufacturers. Wow. And they also want them to require a background check for purchase. So you will not be able to buy them on Etsy. The guns assembled with these kits must come with a serial number. So basically they want, like, there has to be a serial number. It has to be on the same part of every DIY gun so that you know where to look for it. For the ghost guns that are already out there, I guess if any licensed retailer might have bought one to resell, they then have to add a serial number, which to me just is an excellent reason for licensed retailers to just stop buying these. Not because they aren't, like, thoughtful or want to, you know, protect people, but because that's just another task they probably don't want to have to deal with.
Yeah.
We need to do a buyback. Like, have we ever done that?
I mean, with inflation so high, maybe we should give it a chance. The other headline this morning was that consumer goods are up 8.5%. Our shit costs that much more, which means that if you got a 5% raise at the end of last year, you should talk to your manager about it because that's not a raise.
You know, and it's so funny because when I was meeting my friends from college and stuff, we're all women of color and we're all talking about raises and all that. And one of their jobs gave her a 3% raise. Like 3% and like all this stuff. And it's just like, inflation is.
You're welcome. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Oh my God. Anyway. Yeah. It's a lot of issues.
Yeah. Gas and groceries are the things that are really troubling people. So we will keep out for those very, very common sense gun regulations and hopefully more. But yeah, I'm eager to see how Republicans are going to argue against background checks for DIY gun kits.
They're going
because
we'll see it.
What about when it's their mentally ill son? You know, like, that's going to happen.
They bear no responsibility in anything. They don't even care about Parkland.
That'll be when it was all mental illness. And
They only care about being reactionary and getting all these stupid, but things that actually protect people. I will never lose, like, the sight of Ron DeSantis signing all these like stupid bills and then not doing regulations for a Surfside condo kind of legislation that could actually save lives. Like, that's literally the Republican Party right now.
Yeah. We haven't talked to you for a week, but did you get to, like, how was it watching the Ketanji Brown Jackson's confirmation and speech? Did you get to watch any of it?
Yes. God, it was so, so great. And like, I'm just really glad that they could pull it off. You know, I was always worried about it. And yeah, like, she's just so much more qualified than everybody that's ever worked there. And it's just crazy. But there was conversation on, like, do we need to be subjected? It's the same kind of traumatic shit in a different way of from Brett Kavanaugh's Senate hearings, like that whole process. Mm-hmm. It's like re-traumatizing an entire segment of people. And it's just like, mm-hmm. as Black women, like we get pieces of this every day in like professional settings. So to see that on a national stage and like see her applaud it, you know, it was like not traumatizing, but it was like really frustrating in a different way. And I'm glad that it worked out. And now she's a Supreme Court justice. But at the same time, I'm like, God, this process, this country, like it's so fucked up. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I keep thinking about, Amanda and I talked about this yesterday, but that, like, Rand Paul wouldn't even wear a tie to come to the, like, confirmation, and, like, all these Republicans walked out. It's just, like, the level of disrespect is crazy.
Well, also, too, like, people were even getting on Bernie Sanders for, like, leaving early, because Bernie Sanders didn't stick around, and on one end,
that's annoying.
That's annoying, and then all these people were, you know, it was, like, all these white leftists on Twitter were like, these white male guys, like, who cares? He voted for her anyway, blah, blah, blah. And like, they're the ones who like immediately will hate on anything AOC does.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And it's just like, they don't see that there's a connection of, yeah, like.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know,
we're not saying he needs to immediately resign, but like, it's kind of fucked up not to stick around for this historic thing, especially when this person is already facing so much disrespect from the Republican Party.
It was an unbelievably historic moment to have Kamala Harris be there to do that. So I don't know if maybe these guys, like, because they don't really know how it feels to have, you know, they've been white guys who have never really. But yeah, it pissed me off. Yeah, I saw a ton of people leave just like, oh, it's time to go. And me and Elise were talking. It's like, you're always on fucking vacation. I'm sorry the vote was on Thursday, especially because it's not like, you know, Ketanji Brown's action was watching it happen. She's seeing the headline. She can't ignore them. I hope it doesn't bother her. But like, to have 47, like, it just was like, ugh, it kills me that she had to see that. I hope maybe she didn't.
It's there is something to me, like, people have never had to go through any of that, constantly questioning, constantly whatever. And then it's the same people who, like, if you ask them to wear a mask, like, I've traveled a lot this week, and it's just really annoying me how many people, like, this guy took his mask off to go to sleep on the plane, like, pulled it down. And then every time a flight attendant would pull it, like, he would pull it up and pull it down and pull it up. And it's just like, just keep it on, sir. But it's like, there is a correlation in my head of, like,
1,000%.
People who, like, you know, constantly questioning or want to see Ketanji's LSAT scores and is she this or, and then they're like, I don't know how it became about pedophiles and groomers and all that Disney shit. But, and then also people who like are disgusted at the fact that they might have to wear a mask in an airport or in a crowded plane for a little.
Yeah. Like, it's just this like icky, like we talk about a lot. Like, I am titled to be a hateful contrarian without, and nobody can hate me for it. It's your problem if you reject that and ask me to correct my behavior. It's like, behave however you want, but we're gonna reflect it back to you and we're gonna tell you what it is. One more headline, lingering headline from last week we didn't get to, but wanted to close the loop on. I'm not sure if you heard, but Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars last month after Chris Rock.
Hashtag slapgate.
Rude joke. And there are some follow-ups. So the Academy announced on Friday that Will Smith would be banned from attending the Oscar ceremony for 10 years as punishment for his actions. This came after Will Smith resigned voluntarily from the Academy. This measure did come off as very harsh, if not unnecessarily, then relatively harsh, just because you haven't seen anything so punitive before. I mean, yes, there was an open hand slap during the ceremony, but on the spectrum of terrible things, there are lots of terrible things that are pretty close to that on it that they have chosen not to really address. I mean, Adrian Brody kissed Halle Berry during an award show. Like,
oh, and it was lauded for years as like one of the best. It's like on their DVD of like best Oscars moments.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Like, they like loved that shit.
Well, I'll just say two things. One, it does remind me of Jussie Smollett of like, yes, he did.
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
Whatever. But like, really, are we this is the deal we're going to die on? Two, there's so many problematic people who have Oscars still, are allowed back at the Oscars, whatever. And three, it's like, it's so funny because I'm sure the Smith family doesn't see it like this, but it's just like, Wait, Will is really winning. He got to smack the shit out of Chris Rock. He got Actor of the Year, and now he doesn't have to go to that crusty ass award show for 10 years. Like, honestly,
he's still eligible. He can still win.
He can still win and not go. Like, come
on. That's
so funny. But yeah, like,
he's gonna have a triumphant return. That's work.
People don't enjoy those like, people don't enjoy the actual Oscars. People enjoy the parties and all of that after.
He can probably still go to those. I mean,
he definitely can go to those, but it's just like the actual Oscars is like, it's a lot, man. People, again, like, I really don't want to hear anything from people who like are offended at the idea of having to wear a mask for 2 hours on a plane or something. Like, they want Will Smith to just sit there and take joke after joke after joke by the same guy who tried to date his wife 20 years earlier and then she rejected him and then he's been hating on her ever since. Like, come on. And it's like, there's consequences for your actions, man. You're going to get slapped.
Yeah, agreed.
I will say my final slap take, I guess.
It will never be the final slap take.
I guess it'll never be a final. But, like, yeah, I mean, look, I get the Academy exists to do one thing, which is to vote on and put on the Oscars. I get that they are very upset that the proceeding was interrupted and they want to not have it be interrupted again. I think if they had just said you can't come back next year, that would have been
enough.
Appropriate. I mean, the year after you win Best Actor actually is like a huge year because you get to present and you kind of like preside over it. So I think that is a professional and social consequence that would have been very appropriate. I also think if they wanted to at least acknowledge the stuff that Black women have been saying about what Chris Rock's joke meant to them and why Will felt the way that he did, they could say something about, like, we're not going to have unscripted remarks anymore. And, like, we're saying that our hosts have to stick to the teleprompter or we don't even air what they said. You know what I mean? Like, there are actually things that they could do that address, like, both ends of how this all came to be, but instead they're just gonna ban Will Smith for 10 years. Like, it's just silly.
Yeah, it's not corrective. It just seems very punitive.
It's not a comedy show. It's not a stand-up comedy show. So, like, they don't have to actually let people like Chris Rock say whatever he wants or any comedian say whatever they want. They can do their program and have only the jokes that were written, that have been vetted, that have been thought about. And yeah, it won't be like, it's not going to be like an edgy piece of club comedy, but that's not what it is. It's an industry event. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, there are just ways that people can conduct themselves at an industry event. Like, both problems could have been addressed with their answer, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, I agree. Fortunately, we do have something to celebrate today, believe it or not. Today is a huge day at Betches. Huge. We have had a secret project in the works. I mean, I think they've been doing it for, like, 2 or 3 years. The whole company is, I can't believe, I showed it to my friends the other day and I was like, did I really not tell you about this? But Betches launched a canned cocktail today. It is called, it's called Faux Pas. It is so cool. I am just such a fangirl of it. It is delicious. It's a canned cocktail. You will hear us make this distinction a lot. It is not a spiked seltzer. So there's no malt liquor. That makes some people feel yucky. And also, like, you know, your White Claw is like 5% ABV, but this is 8%. It is a proper canned cocktail.
Canned cocktail, baby!
I like to pour out the spicy marg and just have it over ice and put some tajin on the rim, and it tastes amazing. You can get them. They're not everywhere yet, but they're in a ton of states. You can look at Drizzly right now to see where you can get it. If you are in New York, you should be able to find it pretty easily. You know, maybe don't leave your house today, but eventually... You will be able to find it. Elise and Millie, yours are on the way. It's really good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm such a cynic.
So excited.
I wouldn't like stand it if I didn't love it. But I'm so, so, so excited that it's like such a high quality product. And the packaging is amazing. You can only get it in liquor stores because it is a canned cocktail. It is real booze. So real liquor, real tequila, real vodka. Now I'm a salesperson. Thank you for indulging us.
I love it. I love the flavor. Sounds so yummy.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear. My favorites are the spicy marg and the vodka mule. A lot of people are either like vodka or tequila people, but my two definitely vary, and they are very drinkable. They're very drinkable.
Yeah.
So.
I got an email from UPS saying that my package, my faux pas package, will arrive. So I will let y'all know.
Perfect. I gotta see where my package is. I want my faux pas.
Ha ha ha. if you don't get one, then you have to come. Our office is filled to the brim with it. So next time you guys are there, we'll do a very fun podcast episode with some faux pas. That's our show for today. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.